All right, let's turn to our Bibles, in our Bibles, to Proverbs chapter 4. Please, Proverbs chapter 4, we're going back to that same passage where we were on Sunday morning, but some different verses. Proverbs chapter 4. I do plan to preach some good news tonight. What I mean by that is, I like to, in my messages, try to have the solution very clearly outlined. In college, they always made fun of me. Some of my buddies made fun of me for always preaching against sin. That's not a bad thing. But I want to, as I preach against sin, be careful to also give the way to fix the sin problem. And so there is some good news that I hope you will pay attention to concerning this subject this evening. We're in Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll be looking at the last three verses as a springboard into our subject this evening. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Last year, during the winter time, I was out in the woods trying to gather in some firewood. And back home in Pennsylvania, my family and I live full-time in an RV. Many of you know that. And we survive a Pennsylvania winter by heating our trailer with an outdoor wood furnace. I hooked it up to my ductwork and burned wood to keep us warm. And it's a wonderful thing, because one of the biggest problems if you're wintering in an RV is moisture buildup. And this keeps us toasty and dry. But it means that I go through a lot of wood, because my walls are only like 2 inches thick, you know, not much insulation. And so I have to often be out in the woods getting more firewood in. I have a pretty good supply ready to go for this year, but I think I still need to get out a little more. Anyway, last winter I was out in the woods, and I had, I'm always looking for the dead trees on the camp property. We try to keep our trees, the good ones, there because we want our property looking good, but I try to take all the junky ones, all the dead ones, and because it's an outdoor wood furnace, I can throw all kinds of stuff in there and it works really well. I remember that one afternoon I was in the woods and I saw a tree that split at the bottom, so it kind of went up in a Y, or maybe there even was three trunks going up, and they were dead. And I saw how they had broken off about halfway up the tree, maybe 20, 25 feet into the air. The tops of those trunks had really broken off, and they were leaning down on the far side of that Y. And as I approached that tree, I saw this is going to be precarious. If I try to take this down, I have got to keep my eye on those trees that are on those trunks that are leaning to the ground, because those are just going to throw all of it off, and who knows where those trunks are going to go. And so I thought, should I do this? Should I not? I really have to be careful out there, because I'm often out there by myself. Anyway, I decided to try it, and I was cutting away, checking those trunks up there, because they were just leaning against it, and it didn't look good. Anyway, I knew I better not be distracted. When that starts breaking at the bottom, I better keep my eye on that trunk that's right above me, or I could be in a fix. And sure enough, as I was getting that finished right, the cut finished right at the bottom, I looked up and I saw one of those trunks had teetered off of the top there and was coming straight toward me. And by the grace of God, at the last second, I sidestepped and that thing fell right next to my boot. And it was a big tree. And in those moments, when they happen, hopefully very rarely, but you just kind of set the chainsaw down, look up in the sky, and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And all that time, even as I was making that very difficult cut, I knew I had to stay focused. I had to be looking up at that thing and be very careful. I could not be distracted at how well the cut is going or any other thing in the woods at that time. I had to be focused on that trouble spot up there. And if I had taken my eyes off of it, it would have been a bad day. I had gear on. I wear protective gear and everything, but you have to be so careful, as so many of you Mainers know, when you're taking down trees. Tonight, I'd like to speak on the subject of death by distraction. Praise God that that's not what I experienced that day. But as we look at the Word of God, we see that God wants us to be very focused on some things in life, and He wants us to be very careful not to be distracted by the things of the world, the things of this temporal life. And I believe as we look at the Word of God, we see that it can be fatal to become distracted in the Christian walk. Death by distraction. You and I must recognize and remove distractions from our lives that are keeping us from serving God. We read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. We will come back to them at the end of our message here tonight, but take your Bibles and turn over to Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, 15, and 16, we will see the life of a very distracted man and some valuable principles and truths to draw from his example tonight. Who is that man? Samson. There you go. Mr. Matt got it over there. Thank you. The life of Samson, Judges chapter 14, 15, and 16. Chapter 13 is really the account of his parents finding out that Samson's on the way. But here we'll start in chapter 14. Now, we're not going to read the whole passage, and I know that even at this hour, 7:21 in the evening, life is still busy for some of you guys, and I thank you so much for coming from work and making an effort to be here, and yet your day is not over, and so I appreciate that very much. It means a lot to me, and I respect your time, and so we will not take the time reading all these passages, but we will skip around, point out some verses, and see the truths. There are some certain things that can often contribute to us becoming distracted Christians. Number one, let's look at the road to distraction. What do we find on that path that leads an individual to a distracted life? Number one, the road to distraction. You and I are distracted Christians if, first of all, we'll see here, we make the Word of God a low priority. Look at verse 1 of Judges chapter 14. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So, a bad choice was being made. And we see in verse 4 that God is able to take bad choices and use them for good reasons. But here we learn that Samson, he was wanting to get married. He was wanting to get married to a pagan Philistine. Now, over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3, God said, Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. And so we remember in the scriptures that God gave clear commandments to his people to follow concerning marriages. And there in Deuteronomy, we learn that God said, Don't you go and marry the pagans. Don't you go and seek a wife among those people who are uncircumcised, who are not following my law. You go and find a wife of your own people. And Samson was not heeding to the word of God. This was what God had spoken. This was the clear commandments from their Lord. And yet Samson was making it a low priority in his life. Friends, we are becoming distracted people in our lives when we do not make this book high priority. When we get up in the morning and we rush off to work and we come home and this happens and that happens and through the whole day we don't give the Word of God attention, we're distracted. Distracted. Now, I know that some run some very crazy schedules. I think I mentioned this the other day. You may only have 5 minutes Before the between the time when you get up and you really need to be at work, and there's just not time, and the schedule is so busy, and the strength only goes so far, but you have those 5 minutes. And it's those 5 minutes for you with your schedule that God wants you to take. The next guy may have 30 minutes. Well, then that's what he needs to take in his time with the Lord. Whatever it is that God has given you, the time that he has given you to spend with him, if you're not doing that, friend, then you are distracted. And you're making the word of God a low priority. Don't make God's word a low priority. So also we see here, not only was Samson taking God's word and not really heeding to it, not really making it a concern in his life, but also look at chapter 14, verses 5 through 6. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. Now skip down to verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Eshkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. So remember that riddle took place? And here again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he accomplished something very spectacular. Skip down to chapter 15, verses 14 through 17. Chapter 15, verses 14 through 17. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hand. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. Skip down to verse 18. And 19 there, we referenced this the other day, and he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But the Lord clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. When he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. So we see that the lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he accomplished a great feat. And then the 30 men, God's Spirit came upon him there and another spectacular thing took place. And then the killing of 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass by the strength of God once again. And then he was in desperate states and he's thirsty and God met his need. You know what I see through that? A distracted man whose relationship with the Lord was only for emergencies. You see, he was one who was to deliver Israel. He was one who was supposed to be walking close with God. He had the Nazarite vow upon him. But yet, it was hit and miss here and there. When an emergency came up, okay, God's Spirit would then come upon him. But then what about all the other times, Samson? What about all the other time that you should have been serving God, accomplishing something great for the Lord? And friends, when it becomes in our lives the same thing, when God and our relationship with Him is something that we only use when we're in desperate states, oh, I'm having a bad day today, okay, then I'll focus on the Lord. Or, oh, I don't know what to do, I'm in this financial difficulty, I'll call upon the Lord now. Oh, my health is failing me, and so will you all please pray for me? And it's in the emergencies, in the difficult times, that then we turn to the Lord. Friends, if that's true, then we're being distracted by something else in life. And so on the road to distraction, you see people who make the Word of God a low priority. You see people who have a relationship with God, but their relationship with God is only for the emergencies. But also now notice chapter 14, verses 8 through 19. We won't read them all, but there's a story of the riddle. You remember how Samson put forth this riddle and he was having this fun time at his wedding, whatever, and They couldn't figure out the riddle. They couldn't come up with the answer, and so they went to his wife and they got the answer out of him, and he was all upset by that. And then it led from one thing to the next. In chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, we see how his wife was then murdered. And it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, "I will go in to my wife into the chamber." But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, "Verily, I thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. She is not... Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her." And then you remember what Samson did. He caught all those foxes, verse 3, 4, 5. He caught all the foxes, put firebrands in their tails. They ran through the corn and burned up the Philistines' corn that was standing there. Verse 6, "And then the Philistine said, 'Who hath done this?' And they answered, 'Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion.' And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, 'Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that will I cease.' And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Edom." Notice also chapter 16, verse 1. There we have Samson going, and he saw there an harlot in Gaza. And he went in unto her, and it was cold, and it was told the people, the Gazites, saying, "Samson is come hither." And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all the night. Notice then the story goes on to Delilah, and it came to pass in verse 4 afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Also chapter 16 verse 28, just flip over the page if you need to, right at the end of Samson's life, chapter 16 verse 28, right around the time when he died here, Samson prayed, and Samson called unto the Lord, verse 28, and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Now, I point out all those passages, and what we have taking place in each one of those passages is we have a man who's obsessed with his own desires. He's going to get a wife of the Philistines, and he's enjoying the wedding and all the celebration. So he puts forth this riddle, and it doesn't turn out the way he wants, and it just gets him into all kinds of trouble. One thing goes to the next, eventually the murder of his wife, and he's fighting, and he's having conflicts with these Philistines. Eventually, he just keeps going deeper and deeper into following his own desires and wherever his anger and his vengeance would lead him. It takes him to Gaza, gets him involved with a harlot. Eventually, Delilah comes on the scene. He's still pursuing his own selfish desires, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. And then even at the end of his life, when he eventually cries out to God for victory, he throws in there, "for my two eyes." Now, honestly, I don't know everything that Samson was thinking right there at the end. But it seems to indicate to me that even at the very end, he was still focused on himself. "For my two eyes." You are a distracted person, friend, if you make the Word of God a low priority. If your relationship with God is only for an emergency. And if you are obsessed with your own desires. What about you? Do you spend much time going around focusing on the things that you want to do in this life? Or are you focused on doing the things that God wants you to do in this life? So number one, we see the road to distraction. Number two, notice with me the results. What happens when we allow ourselves to become distracted people? There's several things that we see happen to Samson when he was distracted. Notice chapter 16, verses 4 through 20, first of all. Now, we won't read that whole passage. We're skipping around, and we referenced some of it already. But in chapter 16, again, you have Samson getting involved with Delilah. In verses 4 through 20, you see how she begins to try to figure out the source of his strength. You remember how she's asking him where the source is, and he first tells her that if you bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and shall be as another man. And that didn't work. It wasn't true. It was a lie. And she found that out after trying it. And so she asked him again, where does your strength lie? And so he said, well, if you get new ropes, if you bind me up with ropes, then I will be weak like any other man. And she tried that, and sure enough, it was another lie. He broke them from off his arms like a thread, the Bible says. And it continues on, and she said, where does your strength lie? And he gave her the answer, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head in the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And so that didn't work. And so she said, you're mocking me. You don't love me. Wherein does your great strength lie? And it came to pass, verse 16, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head. For I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And she did it. Sure enough, his strength was gone. He was distracted. Throughout his whole life, he was chasing his own selfish desires, spending much time indulging in the things that he wanted, fulfilling the desires of his flesh, didn't care about the Word of God. His relationship was so surface with the Lord. And when he got to this point in his life, we see how blind he was. And that is a result of living distracted. You become blind to the deceit of the enemy. You become blind to the deceit of the enemy. Friends, we are in a battle. There is an enemy out there, and often that enemy is our flesh, ourselves. And we have to watch out for the tricks of the devil. He's trying to trick us and deceive us and get us to stumble and fall and believe a lie so often. And if we are distracted, then we're very easily going to be blind to it all. We can't go through life like that. We need to be shrewd. We need to be prudent. We need to be watching for the fiery darts of the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he will devour you if you are distracted, friend. So we see Samson was blind to the deceit. Chapter 16, verse 30, at the end of Samson's life, it says, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. So that's where Samson died now. Remember, he pushed against the pillars, and there were, I think it says, 3,000 men up above, and there were men and women everywhere, and the house was full, and he killed many of the enemy in that one act. But he died in the process. And that is a result, I believe, of living a distracted life. You're blind to the deceit, but also you die in bondage just like he did. Now, you say, well, Brother Dan, does that mean actually me dying, like physical death? Well, it's a big possibility. Yeah. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we learned already yesterday as we were talking about it, you will eventually get to that point to where life is lost when you live in sin. And being distracted is certainly that. So you will die eventually in bondage. That's what happened here to Samson. But notice verses 30 and 31. We already read verse 30. Just look at the last phrase again. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. That's an interesting phrase. Then it goes on and says, then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. It's too bad it doesn't say 30 years, 40 years, 50, 60, 70 years. It's 20 years. Now, maybe there's many more accounts that actually he did for the Lord than what's written, but you read what's on these pages and you say, Samson, you could have done so much more. Samson, you had such potential. Only 20 years. And Samson, when you died, in your death, you actually slew more in that moment than your whole life. Samson, it could have been so much more. You've done so much more for the Lord. But that's exactly is what happens when we allow ourselves to live distracted lives. We be blind to the deceit of the enemy. You eventually die in bondage to the enemy. And then finally, you end up accomplishing very little with your life. Friends, there is so much work to do for the Lord. I remember David, how he said, is there not a cause? There sure is. The glory of the Lord. God and His desires is what we ought to be focused on. So we see, number one, the road to distraction. Number two, the results of distraction. But finally, notice with me now the good news, the remedy for distraction. Take your Bibles and turn back to Proverbs chapter 4, please. We looked at the life of Samson and quickly gathered some things out of there that we need to be aware of. We need to be very careful of in our lives that we don't follow a similar track. But now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 26 to see the remedy. How can we stay away from being distracted Christians? And I really desire that as we go through this message tonight, that you're thinking and allowing the Lord to work in your heart. My prayer is that He does some specific conviction. What is the way that you're distracted tonight? People get distracted by all sorts of things. It can be a new iPhone. It can be some kind of thing going on at work where you really hope that this could take place and maybe someone would notice your good job and you're just so focused on that, and it becomes a distraction. Maybe it is a good intention. I'd love to serve the Lord here and do this or that, but in order to do that, boy, I think I need this tool, or it'd be really nice to have that, and then I could really serve the Lord. But you're spending hours and hours being focused on that thing when it's not God's time. Maybe it's some kind of lifestyle, like being so focused maybe on your health or dieting or something. Those are good things, but sadly, there's many that are being distracted by that. So many things that we become distracted by. And so we need the remedy. Here in Proverbs chapter 4, the Bible says, let thine eyes look right on, verse 25, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. God wants us to see that if we are going to be careful about distractions in our lives, He wants us to see this truth. Stop looking at the distractions. It says there, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Friends, I don't know about you, but when I'm distracted by something, it's because I am looking at it a lot with my eyes. And like I said, maybe it is a good thing, and it's maybe me on the internet doing some research to be able to use that knowledge for something great. But we have to be careful that we are not so focused on that. And if we are in a wrong way, then the first thing we need to do is turn our eyes somewhere else. Stop looking at the distraction. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Stay focused where God wants your eyes to be focused. The Bible says in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. You have to make a choice about where you are going to have your eyes focused. Because where we have our eyes focused is often where our heart is focused. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, a few verses up, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Remember how David looked on Bathsheba, and he became distracted by that thing, left a major blot on his life as a result. He made a critical error when he did not choose to stop looking. Stop looking at the distractions. It may be that God is convicting you about a specific distraction right now, and it's something that you've been spending a lot of time viewing. Or maybe it's time to just say, I'm going to put that away. I know it's maybe not even a bad thing, but I'm going to put that away for a month. And my eyes are going to be looking at something else for a while, so that I am not falling into the temptation of being distracted. Look at verse 26. It says there, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. The word ponder has the idea of considering something very well, thinking about it very carefully. And so the remedy for distraction starts with stop looking at the distractions. But then here in verse 26, we see start considering your direction. Start thinking, pondering about where you are headed in this life. We have to make sure that we are having clearly defined goals in our lives, both short-term goals and long-term goals, and that we are considering those goals regularly. So I challenge you, consider your direction in life. It's sad when someone wanted to serve the Lord and that was their direction and they had good intentions and good goals, but time has passed and now you're like, well, what's going to become of that? And they become distracted instead of following through with those goals. And so I challenge you, friend, start considering your direction. Where is it that you intend to be 10 years from now? If the Lord tarries and gives you that time, where are you going to be and what goals will be accomplished along the way? If you're not going to accomplish some goals for the Lord, something that is valuable for eternity, then you will no doubt have been a distracted person that whole time. So stop looking at the distractions. Start considering your direction. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 8, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't be that double-minded man. Distracted. And then verse 27, it says, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And so again, it has the idea of being very careful to walk that straight and narrow path that God has you on. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Be very careful to stay right there where God wants you to be and not getting into the distractions on the sides. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That's a choice that you're going to have to make. You're actually going to get away from that distraction and consider it to be evil, because it's keeping you from accomplishing the goals that are truly valuable for eternity. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see, Paul's goal was to know the Lord. and all the distractions that would come along the side, he said, I am going to count them but dung. I'm going to count them all but loss. They're worthless compared to this one focus of knowing my Lord. And so in verse 27, we see staying committed to the decision. Start considering your direction and then stay committed to that decision. God has helped you to define some goals. You've set them. Now stay committed to them, like Paul did when he said that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Have that same idea to where you're not going to turn to the right hand or to the left. You're going to stay focused on that calling that God has on your life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Before us. Stay on that goal. Keep your eyes focused on that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And don't let anything distract you from this world, from accomplishing God's will for your life. Samson was so distracted. He turned aside to see the carcass of a lion and try to get a little honey out of it. We need to be like Moses. He turned aside in the desert to see a burning bush. And because his focus was on the Lord there, he went and did great things for God. And so what do we need to do? Be sure that we are infatuating ourselves with God's will for our lives, with the goals that He wants us to have, goals that are truly valuable for eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help some in this room to stop looking at those distractions that they are struggling with. Lord, I pray that you would help them to start considering the direction they are headed in life. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to stay committed to the decision that you have led them in, the goals that you have shown them to have. I pray that they would not turn to the right hand or to the left. Lord, we ask that you would work in our hearts and that you would reveal to us the distractions now that we are struggling with. Lord, help us to not produce stubble. Help us to produce in our lives treasures for eternity. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask during this invitation time, are there some here tonight you'd say, Brother Dan, the Lord convicted me about a specific distraction, and I'm thinking of it right now. Would you raise your hands before the Lord if He's worked in your heart in that way? Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Lord, show me a distraction tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word and the power of it. I pray that you would not allow us to take your message lightly. I pray that you would convict us deeply of the things that should not be in our lives, especially the things that are worthless. Lord, help us to fill our lives up with things that are truly valuable for eternity, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.